Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Whether your passion is to serve others full-time or part-time, Suzanne McDonald is here to show you how. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page. Because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome to the show today, Lieutenant Colonel retired Suzanne McDonald. Suzanne, welcome.
Thanks, Lynette. It's nice to be here.
I usually start the show with a quote that's meaningful to my guest. So do you have one you'd like to share with us today?
One of my things that I've driven my life really for the past 20 years has always been carry your own weight and share each other's burdens.
Tell us how you connect with that, because those are pretty powerful words.
I connect with it every day. I always look to strengthen my own self so I can always carry more and more weight, you know, that I get. And then also I look for opportunities to share with others when someone else is not able to, you know, simple things. And that if someone can't carry their grocery bags into the house, I help them. You see someone struggling to pick up 20 million things off, you know, to put in their car, you help them. You don't fear stepping up and helping others carry the little burdens. And then that translates into bigger burdens in life.
Right. Which bigger burdens, your passion is serving others. And you have done that in all different capacities. So can you tell us, how did this begin for you?
I didn't know it at the time, but I've come to realize that I developed a passion for service to others when I was a child. I lived in a small town, like Long Valley, New Jersey, that really depended upon the volunteer firefighters and the first aid squad. And my father was a volunteer firefighter. And that really, a lot of my family friends were. We spent Sundays in the firehouse. And you really got the sense of community from, you know, the firehouse kids and the firehouse families. And that path continued, and it wasn't straight. But then I enlisted in the Army right at high school, following my brother's path. And you know, it just continued to this day. After almost 29 years, I'm finally retired, and it's been a long time of just serving and feeling great about it.
Can you give us some examples of things that you've done, maybe in the Army, that show what kind of serving, what kind of service that you've done that was most memorable or meaningful to you?
I'd say just being a soldier has been an amazing experience. I mean, it's good and bad. It's life. You live, you know, with challenges and you live with great successes. I had some great leaders that really saw potential in me and, that, you know, simply just working hard, having a good attitude and always learning and growing. And I was put in command, and as a troop commander, had over 250 personnel. And it's a little challenge to lead, very diverse, every age group from 18-year-old kids to 50-year-old men. And it was trying to build that cohesive team for me. It was a little challenging. Everyone had their own ideas of what they needed to do, what they wanted to do. And that's when the idea of carrying your own weight and sharing each other's burdens really started to take hold. I would explain to my younger soldiers in particular who were in just for the job, just for the paycheck, that they really need to become part of the team. And I would use the illustration of carrying the crew serve weapons or machine guns. They're heavy and there's a lot of parts to them that I would explain to a soldier, you carry your own weapon. You're required to carry your ammunition, your own gear, and everyone expects that of you. But then we have gear that is meant for the entire platoon, such as a crew serve weapon, and that gets distributed to every member of the platoon. Some people carry extra ammo, some will carry, you know, the tripod for it. And as I would share that with my soldiers and said, you know, they are expected to still carry that weight. So that meant that they had to go beyond just themselves. They had to go beyond just their own ability to, you know, take care of their own person. And it really helped to create a team that everyone had fun. I mean, it was a great time, you know, over a year and a half of being a commander that was a lot of fun because people did have that sense of, let's help each other out. And also, let's make sure we continue to personally improve so we all get better.
You had a career that was just short of 29 years. And I know that you served two tours in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. So you have two sons that you've had to spend some time away from. So when we talk about serving, what was your role while you were doing this there?
I was an intelligence officer in a combat organization. My role was to develop the threat picture and determine how we were going to maneuver against it with, you know, in conjunction with the rest of the team and the rest of the planners.
Now, the thing is, Suzanne, that we have listeners who want to serve and they just don't know how to act. Some are able and willing to do this full time like you have, and other people may just want to incorporate service part time in their lives. So what kind of hesitations, let's say, would you have going into this full time?
I think full time, it's the feeling that there's going to be a lack of payment or a lack of gratification from it, that if you are always serving others, you're just going to leave yourself drained. Also, I think a lot of folks just don't want to take on that burden. It's tough to take on, you know, especially when you're volunteering, because there's a lot of places to volunteer that you're helping people in need, and their need is often emotional support or stability, or the, you know, financial stability for a lot of folks that people that you don't have. And there's a lot of fear of actually extending yourself in areas that you are unsure of, that you, if you have the strength to do it.
And what would you say the benefit is?
Oh, just tremendous satisfaction. When you can help others and you feel a sense of community, that idea of belonging to something, it's grounding. And you can grow from it and become more of the person that you envision yourself to be.
Speaking of that, what do you think you've learned about yourself from that process?
That we all have a lot of strength. I've learned about myself that I can, like you mentioned, I spent a lot of time away from my sons, and it's the hardest thing in the world to do for anybody, I think, to not have time with their family and to not be there to influence their lives and to bandage up their knees, again, to serve your children. And it's a very hard, lonely feeling. And then you start, when you fill that cup up, if you will, with other service, I've learned that I have a lot more capacity than I ever imagined I did.
Wow. That's really powerful. Now, I know that you, in the past, in high school, you were part of the firehouse. Then you went into the Army, recently retired. And what are you doing now? Because obviously, the service doesn't stop when it comes to you.
No. I'm really excited right now. I'm still not sure what I'm going to be when I grow up. But one thing I am on a path to is to become I'm currently a dive instructor. I just finished a certification level for diving. And my next step is to start trying to work with handicap and wounded warriors.
You went and got your diver certification in order to work the handicapped and wounded warriors and their families to support them in the diving process.
Yes. Diving. I've been diving since 1990 and absolutely love it. Finally, I'm at a position that I'm able to be an instructor where I feel I have the experience and the skills necessary to go and, you know, to go further with that. I see for my sons and I, they both got dive certified last summer, and they don't live with me full time. And the diving really has brought us together. You know, every time we're together, we go off on a dive trip, we go on a dive vacation, you know, we share in this great adventure. And it made me realize that there's a lot of families that could bond better, and there's no limitations. You can dive with handicaps, but you do need some special training. And there's not a lot of folks out there that are willing to do the training.
I actually just saw a video on Facebook, and it was a woman in a wheelchair.
I saw that.
What, that's amazing. And she was diving in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
It was the most peaceful, because I'm such a water person. I swam competitively for 10 years of my life. I'm such a water person. And when I saw that, it just made me so happy.
And water takes away so much of your limitations.
Yes.
And, you know, I was diving over Memorial Day weekend with a dive company here in Florida it was focused towards veterans. He reduced his rates to, you know, make it more affordable. And one of the gentlemen, guys that was on the boat diving with us, was missing half of his leg. And you know, just such an inspiration that, you know, it didn't stop him. You know, he loved diving and he was able to talk about it, which I found amazing. So many folks that hide disabilities because they, you know, they're not able to do things. Diving, it's like, nope. Yep, there's a disability, but I'm still going. We're doing the exact same thing. And it's just so empowering.
I always say on the show, we always talk about how life is a process. And the fact that, you know, you have gone from serving in one capacity to the other, and the fact that this is leading you to diving and working with wounded warriors and their families, I think, like you said, diving has brought you and your sons closer. And your experience, obviously, being away and all these tours and almost 29 years in the military, you know, there was sacrifice. And with that came a sacrifice between the relationship with you and your kids. And being sensitive to that and having experienced that, I really believe, Suzanne, it's going to be something that you bring to those families that you'll be working with on the diving, the wounded warriors and their families, and showing them how they can bond together through this same activity.
Yeah. And I think it won't necessarily stop there. You know, you hope that is enough of a catalyst for continued conversations for growth. Cause you know, sometimes you lose your ability to have a meaningful conversation with your kids if you've suffered a traumatic injury, and because you don't know what to say. That was the hardest part of being deployed and working in classified material. We had the World Wrestling Federation or something, whatever they're called now, came out to do this little USO tour. And not that I'm into wrestling, but it was interesting because I actually got to meet some of the wrestlers and I got to call my kids and talk to them about that, where, you know, otherwise the conversation, I couldn't tell them what I was doing and I wasn't going to tell them when things were really bad. The USO was able to give us other things to talk about with their families and connect. And I see there's a correlation with diving. You know, if you've lost that ability to connect, that you find this might be another path for them to be better families.
Exactly. I totally see how that can bring families together and just get people even talking again, comfortable with each other again. Maybe even, you know, if you're touching each other during the process and just getting the physical bond back again. You just reminded me, John, my husband was in the Navy and they had a concert on the ship, and I think Kansas, and I don't know, I think there were at least two popular bands, and this was in the 80s, and they came and did a concert on the flight deck. And you're right, it did give him something to communicate home about.
Yeah.
Is there a book or any kind of resource for somebody who would like to serve that you could recommend they read?
Well, I'm sorry, like it started off, you know, we were talking that one of the hesitations for people is they're afraid to put themselves out there. The one book that I've loved, The Language of Emotions by Carla McLaren.
Okay.
And it really helps you to understand your emotions and also understand empathy. You know, when you're working with others, how do you extend empathy without sympathy? I hate to say that, that might sound screwy, but being sympathetic sometimes is good, but you can fall into the trap of feeling too much, and then you're not able to continue to give. So I really found that, you know, understanding what empathy was and understanding how that related to me allows me to be empathetic with others, to be supportive, and not fall into that ditch of despair that often happens when you're dealing with folks in need.
Wow, that's pretty profound. So, I mean, being empathetic, empathy is being able to see through that person's eyes what they feel. Being sympathetic means kind of getting caught up in their emotions, correct?
Yeah. Yes. You said that so much better.
No, you said it. I'm just revisiting it because I think it's another great lesson that you're teaching our listeners today, just to know the difference between the two, because often I don't think people do realize there is a difference between those two things. And it can be, in certain situations, really, really important to know those differences, especially when serving others. You know,
yep.
have empathy, see what they're going through and understand it, but don't be sympathetic to the point to where you're drowning yourself in it.
Right.
That was a little bit of a diving pun. Sorry. I didn't do it on purpose.
Awesome.
Okay. So this part of the show, we pick it up a little bit. We have 1 minute responses. I believe in order for people to act, because this is kind of how I've done it myself. When I want to try something new, I really just sit in it for a minute. I envision it for myself. I see myself doing it. So if somebody wanted to envision serving others, how would they do that? What do you think they should envision?
I think they should envision just being there for somebody else and being able to, whether it's handing out water during a walk for cancer, just envision what it feels like to do something without expecting anything in return.
Wow, that's a good one. Okay, now when I wanted to explore, like let's say I envision something for myself, I see myself doing it, I'm ready to do it, but I don't know how. So how would I explore something like this for myself?
Exploring volunteer opportunities is easy. Just Google volunteer opportunities and you'll come up with so many folks and organizations are looking for people to come out and just participate. Even there's so many of those cleanups in the diving community. We do beach cleanups where, you know, all you got to do is go out and pick up trash. That's it.
And it makes such a big difference in the world if everybody did a little something, whether it's physical or emotional, you know, support of some kind, just reaching out and serving in any capacity. Everybody is capable to do something. All right. So that.
And without expecting anything in return is that part too, that, you know, if everyone actually did something for others without expecting anything in return, the world would be a little bit better.
No, that's so true. So to execute then, how would they take a step? What would that first step, tell them what to do?
Just show up. No one is going to tell you no when you show up to volunteer.
That's a lieutenant colonel from the Army, so I really think everybody should listen. Just show up. Great advice. So what closing advice would you give listeners?
Stay grounded in who you are, as you had recapped very well with the empathy. But have empathy for yourself and maybe not take things so seriously. No one's out to get you, that you can't maybe extend a hand. And just not be afraid of that. You're going to be okay.
And I think you've given everybody some great information today, Suzanne. And I know we're going to make you a part of our Motivate Me Ultimate Support System group on Facebook.
And I'll definitely be there.
Okay, awesome. Now, listen, before you go, I just want to thank you for your service, for your almost 29 years in the Army, for the fire department, for what you are heading into right now for diving. We understand your sacrifice the best that we can without actually going through it ourselves. We are so grateful to be protected by people like you.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, everybody. So today, for your go-do, your job is to simply envision yourself serving others and then explore it. Get online and just see what it would take. See where the opportunities are for you and sit on it for a second. Think about, should you execute? Remember, come on our Facebook group. We'll be happy to talk to you about it there. Thank you so much for listening today. And remember, you motivate me, and I'm Lynette Renda.